Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Good morning, church. How are you? Stay standing. What a good day to be in church, hey? Looks good on you, Simone. I love it. Auntie Simone. It's awesome. Hey, we had a great 8:30 service. It's going to be 32 degrees today. So I hope you wore your shorts or got them in the car. But it's going to peak at 5 p.m. So get ready for that. But I think it might peak a little earlier in here. What do you reckon, Steve? Come on. I'm hot. Wow. I'm still a young man, apparently. That's good news, Sawny. Thank you. I receive that. It's all relative. Come on, you lift your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you this time. We thank you for your word. We ask that you would have your way this morning. Speak to us. Let your word be sown into our hearts. And get every seed sown this morning is sown in good soil. This church is good soil. The families here are good soil. The lives here, every individual is good soil this morning, Lord. Thank you, your word is powerful. It brings light, brings peace, brings freedom. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would bring freedom into people's lives. That your word would do its work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, we thank the Lord one more time. And thank you, team. Give our musicians a hand as well. You can grab a seat. It's great to be with you this morning. We are continuing a series called The Upside Down Kingdom. And this is a great series going through the Sermon on the Mount, all the ways that the kingdom of God is counterintuitive. It's different to the ways of the world. And I want to let you know after the service, for Connect Group leaders, you'll already have received info about this, but we have our box collection time for our Christmas hampers. And so over the next month, we're going to be doing Christmas hampers. And so the boxes are ready for collection. And so if you're a Connect leader in particular, make sure you head out to our Next Step team and you can put your name down and how many boxes you're taking. And we want to fill as many boxes as we can over the next month that are going to go throughout our whole community to people in need. And so if you're not in a Connect group, but you're a single person, a couple, a family, and you want to do one together, more than welcome as well. Come on over, grab a box or a couple of boxes, and let's be in it together and bless our community this Christmas. Who thinks that's a good idea? Awesome. Yeah, it's going to be great. And so we're talking upside down kingdom. And so we started this series looking at the Beatitudes, the kingdom principles. I had a great message from Katie Haldane last week around a kingdom character, about the heart and things flowing from the heart. It's not just about head knowledge, but actually being motivated and directed by things happening on the inside, that the kingdom is inward out, not outward in. And so today we're going to continue on that theme. We're looking at Matthew 6, and we're looking at the idea of kingdom motivation. What are the currents of the kingdom? What's the flow? Where does the kingdom flow from? And I do believe that people are going to get set free this morning. I believe God wants to set some people free. I got a sense this morning, I almost saw like vines that have kind of entangled people and things that you haven't been able to shake free of. And I just see them snapping. I see vines snapping, things that have kept you tight, kind of constricted, and they're going to break this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So let's start in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. It says this: be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Isn't that amazing? It goes on, it says, when you pray, Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. It goes on a little bit further in verse 16. It says, and when you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites do. Anyone fasted and chosen to look somber? Oh, I'm just going to look. I don't even know how to look somber. But for they disfigure their faces and show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put on oil on your head, wash your face, so that you will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amazing, right? So countercultural, counter the world's ways. To do the things that we could get most applause for, we do them in secret. And look, I'm sure I'm not alone. Please don't leave me hanging. But it is nice to be seen. Would you agree? It's nice. It's nice to be seen. Nice to be recognized for things. Nice to be noticed. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. We all like to be seen. We all like someone to recognize when we've got a hair done. We've got a new shirt, new boots. These aren't new, but you know, go with me. It's nice. It feels good to be seen. It feels good to be recognized. Recognition is one of the core needs of the human soul. It's in the Maslow hierarchy of needs, right in there at the top in self-esteem, that people need a sense of recognition that someone has seen you. It's a fundamental part of our being as humans, our wiring. I remember a number of years ago, probably over 10 years ago now, I was out to dinner with a close friend, and he was starting to ask me these questions because just to be a little transparent, like this area of self-esteem, self-worth, sense of value has been a wrestle in my journey, has been a bit of a battle. And he was asking me these questions like, well, what? Like, because it didn't kind of make sense. Like, you come from a good family, supportive, loving parents, like been through any major traumatic events to make me, feel like that should be an issue. And he's like, why is this an issue for you? And I'm like, you know what? I don't know. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit brought three moments to mind in my childhood. It's like that I hadn't thought about in years. And I began to share them. And one of them was, I grew up playing soccer. I have an older brother who's 2 years older than me. And I remember as a young, like probably 7, 8 year old, and my dad was my brother's soccer team coach. And so on the car trip on the way home from Saturday sport, the conversation completely revolved around my brother's game and not my game. And as a 7 year old, that embedded itself. I remember another story. I was at primary school, again, probably similar age, maybe a little bit older. And we're at school sport at the end of the day, the last kind of hour of the day. And for some reason, my teacher divided the teams and left me out. It wasn't like there were captains and I didn't get picked. I mean, that doesn't make sense. But, it's divided up and there were odd numbers. And so I was on the sideline. I said, oh, miss, I didn't get a team. And she's like, all right, Mitch, just stand on the side and we'll sub you in at some point. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and got the bell rang, school was going home, everyone was going home. And I came up to my teacher, I said, miss, I didn't get a go. And she, poor teacher, had a tough situation on her hands here. How is she going to deal with this? And I didn't get seen. She missed me, didn't get seen. And so poor teacher comes up with the best thing she could think of. She goes, okay, go and see that building over there. Why don't you just run, touch the building and come back? And so as a young, 9-year-old boy wanting to, prove myself, I did. I sprinted as fast as I could, touched the demountable, building and ran back. And she goes, oh, cool, you can go. Awesome. I remember sharing these stories to my friend, and as I shared them, we were in a Thai restaurant. I started bawling my eyes out. And I'm like, what is this? And just these things embedded into my heart, these little moments, seemingly insignificant, but embedded because I hadn't been seen. We need to be seen. Everyone craves that sense of being seen, being noticed. I think my opinion is this is why when Adam and Eve first disobeyed God, the first thing they did is they hid. Because in that moment, when they realized what they had become, they didn't want to be seen. They wanted to hide. Because it's not just that we want to be seen, is it? It's that we want to be seen as good. We want to be seen as right. We want to be seen as whole and together. And so what this thing does, because ultimately we're in a broken world, we're in a fallen world, and so this desire to be recognized and seen has been corrupted. It's been broken. And so what happens is we end up wanting to be seen only in the right way. And so we start to cultivate an image of how we are seen. And that's what Adam and Eve did. They crafted their own coverings to try and create an image, to create a facade of who they were. We want to be seen as good and right. And so what it does, it actually causes us to constantly perform and begin to prove ourselves to others. And we become people pleasers. It can lead to envy and bitterness where we're trying to outdo each other and compete and try to show ourselves to be the best in our sphere of influence. And so we compete for love and attention. And as this passage shows us, Jesus talks about this and it even spills into our relationship with God. We begin to perform for others in our spirituality. We begin to form in the way we pray, perform in the way we're generous, perform in the way we worship, perform in the way we fast and the way we put ourselves on display as believers. And as a Christian walk can become all about appearances, looking right, sounding right, but on the inside, it's not connected. We're praying the right way, speaking the right way. If we're on social media, we're posting the right way. Everything is all about appearance. And so Jesus knows this need in us to be seen. He knows it's a need. And so what he does is he redirects us back to the Father. And he says this three times. He says, hey, your Father who sees, your Father, not just your Lord, your Master, your God, your Father who sees. He sees what is done in secret and he will reward you. He's encouraging us to resist the temptation to look for recognition and validation from others and trust that we have it from our Father. So we don't need to fill this void anymore. We don't need to put up the front anymore. We don't need to try and please everybody and to kind of make sure that they know that we're good and we're right and we're together and we're successful and we've got all the things down and we're under control because we've got that sense of we're seen from the Father already. We have nothing left to prove. And the reason why this is so upside down, because this is so the opposite of the culture of the world, isn't it? We're taught to put ourselves on display, to self-promote, to hustle, to make ourselves known. Like we're never more perfect than we are on a CV, right? And so, if you want a good laugh, go on LinkedIn. Just scroll LinkedIn and you'll get a good old chuckle. It's upside down, but that's what we've been taught, is to put our best foot forward. It's upside down. Our response, though, shouldn't be black and white. Our response is not a knee-jerk reaction to the methods of the world. For example, this is not like, oh, well, we should be anti-social media. It's social media's fault. No. People have been putting up fronts long before social media. Social media 100% maybe amplifies this need in the human heart to want to portray an image and craft and cultivate and curate an image of who we are. Sure, absolutely, it can amplify this desire of the heart. But it's not social media's fault. It's the fall's fault. We all do this. And what we can do is we can tend to react. And anyone who self, you know, puts themselves forward, we're like, oh, well, their motives must be wrong. So we'll pull them down. And that's where we get tall poppy syndrome from. And so when we see someone putting themselves out there, it's not right or wrong. We don't know their motive, do we? And so we're going to be careful not to knee-jerk react against people that are confident and putting themselves up, because it's not about the method, it's about the motive. It's about why. It's not about avoiding attention or recognition. It's not about that we all just shy away from any attention or recognition, like, oh no. Recognition's not wrong. Attention's not wrong. Fame, I'd say, even isn't wrong. God can use all those things. The question really is, do we need them? Do we need those things? Are we looking for security in our attention? Are we looking for fulfillment out of that recognition? Do we need it or not? I still remember as a 16-year-old, which is, you know, a couple of years ago. It was 19 years ago. I still remember, because obviously this is, like I said, this was a wrestle. This was an area of my life that God was, and I still remember as a young 16-year-old, I'd just come to Christ and the Lord beginning to teach me and work on this with me. And teaching me that I don't need to look out anymore. I don't need to look around and compare and compete. I just need to look up. And I remember learning this, and it's almost like this picture of, you know in the movies, there's this picture of, like, you know, Fast and the Furious, great movie. Or, you know, I love horse movies. Anyone? Anyway. Yeah, like Seabiscuit. Anyway. You know, like, all that, you know, like Olympics, and there's like their nose is in front, and they're like drag racing. It's like, oh, they've got their nose in front, and then they've got their nose, and it's this kind of, and that can be what it's like, where we're kind of jostling and competing for attention, and we're trying to get God's attention, and we're trying to compete for God's love, like there's like a limited supply or something. I don't know, but you know, and we're jostling. And I just remember having this picture as a young teenager. I've just come into youth. There's a lot of people here. I'm like, I could easily just get swept up in this and think, oh, I just need to kind of put on the best, you know, show that I'm a good, young, cool Christian. Like, and I just remember this picture of, like, almost like putting the brakes on, and like we're all the cars are drag racing, and You just fade back and watch them all go ahead, and you realize, I don't need to win that race. I don't need to win that race. It's not a race. I've got God's attention. I've got my Father. I'm not competing. I'm not trying to prove myself. I'm not trying to please leaders. I got God's attention. To this day, I still know my tell. Just so you know, I'm not there. I still have a tell. You know, like when you're playing poker, you got a tell. I know my own tell. I know when I'm feeling a bit insecure and I'm starting to maybe like prove myself again in different areas, it's my little tell to know I need to go back to the Father. I need to go to the Father again. I love this scripture in 2 Chronicles. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." God's eyes are looking. He sees. The Father sees us. He's looking to see who's looking to Him. Galatians 1, Paul says this, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would no longer be a servant of Christ." I believe that God is encouraging us today to allow Him to work on our behalf. Because it's so easy to want to make stuff happen. And there's a time for that. I think there is a time for us to press ahead and knock on doors and work hard. But I believe in this season, God is encouraging some of us to allow Him to work for us. Where we've tried to make stuff happen, where we've tried to kind of orchestrate things and control things. We've tried to, break down doors and force victories and force breakthroughs. I just get a sense that God's wanting to encourage us to relinquish control and allow Him to work on our behalf. We've been trying to make it work, make it happen for too long. And He's wanting us to go against our natural instinct and say, "Hey, would you let me sort this out? Would you let me reward you?" It's time to die to the sense of proving ourselves, of being the perfect picture of success. We die to that. We go underground into the secret place. And we allow God to reward us. Because that's what it says He will do. He'll see what's done in secret and He'll reward you. He'll reward us. And I've discovered this, what I'm learning, is that God's reward is always going to be superior to the way we reward ourselves. Because we can reward ourselves. We can put ourselves out there and there will be some kind of reward. There'll be some kind of return on your investment into yourself and into that image. Absolutely. But that reward will always be inferior to God's reward. And so if we're wanting God's best, if we're wanting God's reward, we're wanting God's purposes, God's, what he's got for us, I believe we need to let him work. Allow him to reward us. Don't jump the gun. I love this story. I was thinking about, who in scripture kind of demonstrates this. And the first thought I had was David. David kind of epitomizes this idea of being kind of in the secret, sowing in secret. Because, seeds are secretive, aren't they? You think about a seed. They start in obscurity. They start underground in the dark. They start in the womb. No one can see them. A seed is secret. And so when we sow in secret, we're sowing seeds and no one knows about it. No one can see it. And what I think sometimes we do is we sow a seed and then we're so proud of our seed, we dig it up and we show people, look at my great seed. And God's like, would you just keep it hidden? It won't grow if you keep showing it off. So as we sow in secret, we go underground, we go low, we close the door and we allow the fruit to bear itself. David had this story in 1 Samuel 16, many of you may be aware of it. And so God had rejected Saul as king and he asked the prophet Samuel to anoint a new future king. And so he sent Samuel to Jesse's house, who had all these sons. And he said, go to Bethlehem and I'll show you who the new king will be. And so we pick it up in this story in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 6. It says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Adonabab. I nailed it so well before I got up here and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by and Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse had seven of his sons pass by Samuel, but Samuel said to them, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest. Jesse answered, he is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and brought him in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. David was hidden. We don't know why David was hidden. We don't know that maybe he just drew the short straw. He was rostered on to the sheep that day. We don't know if maybe Jesse was ashamed of his younger son for some reason. We don't know. We don't know why he was in the field. We just know he was in the field. We know that he wasn't a soldier. Maybe he was too young. And so he wasn't considered king material. And so he was left out. He was overlooked. He was not seen. But God saw him. God saw him. And this is my encouragement. I believe some of us need to be just happy. Happy with it, that we just be faithful tending what God's put in front of us. That we don't force our way into things that we don't need to be in. If God wants you there, he'll get you there. If God wants you there, he'll get you there. And so he called David in from the field. Come on, if you're going to give the Lord a clap, give him a clap. He was faithful in his work, faithful in his worship. And even though his own father didn't see him, the Lord saw him. If I can get our band back up, that'd be great. I remember a story a number of years ago now. I went for a job at Oxford Falls Grammar. Great school. I went there, graduated a long time ago, 2007. And my daughter starts there next year. It's very exciting. Yep. But a number of years ago now, before we had kids, I went for a job as the chaplain at Oxford Falls Grammar in the senior school. And I didn't get it. Didn't get the job. I was put forward for it and I thought, oh, great, this is awesome. I'm a shoo-in. And I didn't get it. And I was so bummed. I was so upset by that because I really wanted it. And what I didn't realize is a very close friend of mine was also put forward for it, and we neither of us knew. And obviously, he got it. His name's Pastor Alex, so I get it. That's fine, I guess. You know, and I let it lie. It was fine. It was all good. God's bigger, right? A number of years later, he obviously finished that role, and I knew the role was open again. And I was like, oh, I actually still would really love this job, but I approached it a little differently. I didn't go for it, because I actually knew another friend was being put forward for it. And so I thought, you know what? I won't. I'll just hold back. Let's see what happens. I remember praying in the shower one night. I was just praying, God, I need a breakthrough, not obviously for the role because I wasn't going for it, but just for the season I was in. I wanted just a fresh sense of thing for the next season I was going into. And I was just praying, and the next morning at like 7 a.m., I got a call from a member of the board who said, Mitch, can you come in and go for this job? A job I hadn't put myself. And I end up getting the job. Thank you. That's not the point. But yeah, the point is that I sowed something in secret. I laid it down. No one knew. I let it go. And the Lord called me into it. Like I said, that's not every story. It's not a message about being passive. Because sometimes we need to be assertive. But my sense is sometimes we can be only in that gear, and we never allow God to do what He wants to do. Why don't you close your eyes? And God sees us. The Father sees us. He sees all of us. He sees even the parts of us that we want to hide, like Adam and Eve. The things we try to cover ourselves by, but really nothing is sufficient. Nothing's sufficient. God's provided a covering for us in Christ. Maybe you've lived your life trying to put up a good front, trying to put up a good image of being good, being nice, being kind, being a good person. But ultimately, it's not enough. It's not what God's looking for. Nothing, no image we create is going to satisfy God's desire to see us as holy. Only the things He creates for us, the covering He creates for us, the grace He provides for us is sufficient to make us right, to make us good, to make us whole. So if you're here this morning and maybe you've been trying to live your Christian walk, putting up a good image, a good front, but it's time to lay that down and receive God's covering, God's grace, God's image for your life. If you're here this morning, you're sick of living in that battle of trying to be right, trying to be good, this morning you can lay that down. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, I'd love you to lift your hand if that's you. You're saying, Mitch, I'm tired of playing the game. I'm tired of trying to look right. I want to surrender to the Lord and receive His grace this morning. If there's anyone here and you need to do that, why don't you slip your hand up right now? No one's looking around, just so I can see. I'd love to pray for you. Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up. This is just between you and the Lord. Awesome. Anybody else? It's tiring trying to look right. You don't have to. You don't have to. Anybody else, you need to lay that pressure to perform down. Just shoot your hand up. Say, God, that's me. Awesome. Anybody else? God wants to free you this morning. Awesome. He wants to free you. Free you. Let God do His job. Let God cover you. Anybody else? Just shoot your hand up. Thank you, Jesus. Beautiful. He sees you. Sees you. Loves you. Thank you, Lord. Let's all pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, today I surrender to your love and your grace. Thank you. You're with me. You're for me. You're not against me. I receive you as my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we thank the Lord? Why don't we just give Jesus some praise?
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.